This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and thank you for joining me today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime family-friendly, fun, and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got a great show for you today, so grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. Our guest today is professional chef Anne Butler. Anne is one of Michelle Obama's Chefs Move to Schools partner and one of Jamie Oliver's appointed ambassadors for his Food Revolution Day events. A former high school culinary arts teacher, Anne became frustrated with her students consuming Red Bull and Doritos for breakfast. She knew that teaching younger kids how to prepare healthy foods would help them create a lifetime of well-being. So she started Edible Education, a company whose mission is to get kids excited about food. In the 5 years since its founding, Anne and her 11 chefs of Edible Education have helped more than 21,000 young students experience the ease and fun of food preparation so they can be excited about eating real healthy food. Anne has so much to share with us today, and I know you're going to benefit from our time together. Welcome to the show, Anne.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm really excited about this conversation, and I know you've got so much to share, but I'd love to start our conversation by having you tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and what it means to be a personal chef, or professional chef.
Well, I have been involved in the food and education business since the early 90s. I call it the Jurassic period now. When I quit corporate and someone said, why don't you go work in a restaurant with my sister while you're figuring things out? I'm like, oh, my gosh, I love the restaurant business. So it is excellent. I mean, the adrenaline, the social aspects, creativity, trends, food has it all. So after working in restaurants, I started a catering company in the D.C. area and then sold it when I was having children and family, and then later worked with 4-H and Cooperative Extension, and then began teaching culinary arts in the high school.
That's a really interesting kind of path, but it sounds like you really got a taste of it and loved it. And sounds like you did a lot of different things with it.
Yeah, when you're a chef, you can do a million things. You can be a food writer, you can be a food stylist. I mean, just not just plain old cooking. And for us, it's education and cooking.
I love that. And it, you know, it just goes to show that just because you start out in one place doesn't mean you have to continue down that same path. I always encourage people to really find their passion and really look at what you love doing. And if you do that, you can always find something that you can do and really turn it into a career and a profession.
Yes, yes. A good, fun one.
Absolutely. And I'd love to ask all of our guests, what motivates them to live healthy and to share their message about healthy living with others? We call it your big why. So what is your big why, and how has it motivated you to live a healthier life?
Well, when we started Edible Education, we knew that getting the kids teaching the kids is where we would make the greatest impact. I always thought if you were an adult and wanted to cook, you would have learned a long time ago. But it's never too late. But the kids are so eager to learn. They're so excited to do that. And then I came across this study that said if a child can receive 50 hours of nutrition education under age 12, you can really change the way they think about food. And then, you know, provide a healthier lifetime forever. And I knew that was what we were supposed to be doing. People know what they're supposed to eat, you know, more fruits and vegetables, more grains. I just don't think people really understand how to prepare it. The average American family only rotates 14 recipes out in their menu repertoire. So I knew that just getting the kids to learn how to do stuff, how to prepare that eggplant, how to plan interesting meals, would be how we could start edible education and get kids excited.
That's those actually, both of those statistics that you shared were really interesting. The 50 hours was under age 12. Did I get that correct?
Yes. And currently schools are teaching on an average of 13 hours.
That's really interesting. You know, our doctors don't even get 50 hours of nutrition education.
You said it, not me. Yes, that's
wow. And only 14 recipes in their kind of meal repertoire, which is, you know, when you think about it, that's probably, I think of what our favorite meals are, and there might be a slight variation, but, you know, we have our absolute favorites. So I'm going to challenge everyone who's listening to expand that by at least one new recipe every week and see what you do. I bet your family will love it. Yeah, and I love this because teaching kids how to eat healthier and about food, it really hits so many topics with school, too. And I love it with our grandkids because it's reading, because they're reading labels, they're reading recipes, it's science, and they're doing measuring, they're doing math. There's so many fundamental education skills that they can learn when they're learning about food, too. So it hits so many core areas.
And also sequencing, because if you don't follow the recipe in the order of what you're supposed to do it, it's just not going to turn out. And it's, for us, hits the number one 21st century learning skill in team building. All of our students all work as, you know, teams. They're doing their own individual things with their own cutting boards and their own knives, but sometimes it's a group recipe project, and so you all have to say, yeah, it's your turn, oh, it's your turn, and that's a huge 21st century learning school skill.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that one, and I know when I was in school, like, 1,000 years ago, you know, we used to have cooking classes. We used to have, you know, we used to learn the food prep. We learned all those basic skills, and then they took all of that away from school. And a lot of families are really busy. They don't take the time, although I challenge parents to really think about spending that quality time with your kids, because it's time that it's very non-threatening. And, you know, the kids are supposed to be reading every day anyway, so have them read the recipes, have them read the labels. I mean, it doesn't matter what they're reading, just teach them to read.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you're correct.
So talk a little bit more about your motivation for starting edible education and creating a healthier generation.
Well, again, like we said, we knew that getting to the kids is where we could make an impact. I mean, I grew up on real food. I grew up in Iowa, and my mother cooked, and we always teased that we were permanently on Weight Watchers, but it was simply prepared and delicious food. And my grandmother cooked everything. Oh, my gosh, you know, the jar of bacon grease underneath the sink, and she taught me everything. But it's just amazing to me that people eat three times or more a day, but they don't have any idea of how to prepare their food. We once taught a 45-year-old woman how to crack an egg. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
When you give your food voting dollars to processed foods or fast food restaurant meals or the convenience takeouts, it means that you don't know what you're eating. You've given that permission over to somebody else, and you're not sure what's going into the only body that you have. I firmly believe that we're a machine walking around, and to fuel the machine and have it work at peak capacity, you have to make choices about the kinds of foods you're going to prepare and enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So doing this and being a little bit healthier and teaching kids whole, real foods, it's just as simply a matter of efficiency. My family is rarely sick. There's really just no time for that. And two of my kids performed athletics at the national level, so nutrition was a complete efficiency needed for high performance. And then all of us need to excel in whatever we're doing in school or our jobs, requiring, you know, nutrition-dense output at all levels in food, exercise, and spirituality.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny when you talk about the body as a machine, because when we're driving, I mean, we look at our cars, and if it takes premium gas, that's absolutely what we put in it, so it runs really efficient and runs the best it can. Yet our body, we're putting all sorts of things into it, not thinking about what we're putting into it, and we only get one body. I mean, I guess you can replace some of the parts, but, you know, I mean, it's not like a car that you can, people change out every 5-10 years, however often they change it out, some every 2 years. I mean, our body is what we've got to take us for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. I mean, why wouldn't you want to take care of it the best you can?
Exactly.
That's really, really interesting. So what do the parents say when they know that you're going to be teaching the kids, or when the kids are sharing with them? What is their response?
It'll vary. We still get a lot of parents that, you know, get what we're doing and that are fully supportive of that. A lot of times we don't get to talk to the parents. We have a lot of grant programs that will pay for our services to come into lower income schools.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once we had a kid in a nice elementary school, and he said, "I'm here because my mom doesn't know how to cook. She wants me to learn. Go teach her." So you never know what they're going to say. But they will share, the kids will absolutely share all of their family's bad eating habits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure. And they probably don't even know that they aren't healthy habits, because that's, for a lot of the kids, that's probably the only thing they've ever known.
Right. Oh, there was this one we had, I think she was in third grade. She told us that her family did not eat anything orange because her mom didn't like the color orange. So, like, no carrots, no sweet potatoes. I'm like, that's so random.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, well, we need to take a real quick break, and we come back. I'd love to have you just share a little bit more. I'd love to hear what kind of response the kids have when they are cooking for the first time or experiencing foods they've never known about, and kind of how you get them to open up to those new things. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Ann Butler with Edible Education, and we're talking about bringing this edible education into the kids in the schools to really get them aware of healthy eating and how they can cook and approach food. And I love this. Would you share, Anne, some of the things and challenges you might have had when you're introducing children to a food for the first time? I know before the break, I thought that was so funny. Well, not funny, but funny, that a child didn't eat orange because his mom didn't like the color. But how do you introduce these foods to the kids? Because a lot of parents say, my children don't like it, they won't try it. How do you get them to try new foods and to experiment?
Well, there is the power of peer pressure with our groups. And the beautiful part is we don't have any parents around us when we're cooking because, I hate to say it, but parents, you really are sometimes not the best supporters. They will say, no, Johnny doesn't eat that. Well, if Johnny hears you say that out loud, now you've given them permission not to have to try it. So we have a little exercise that we do where we ask the kids to stick their tongues out and look at their neighbors, and they see all the little white dots. Okay, those are taste buds. And then we explain, when you're born, you have 4,000 taste buds on your tongue, and they're firing, la, 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 when you're babies. So what did you guys eat when you were babies? Oh, we ate baby food. We ate, you know, okay, yeah, because your tongue is so sensitive. Your taste buds are so on fire. So you want, like, bland, kind of sweet foods. And then you grow up a little bit. You get to that macaroni and cheese stage where it's kind of a little more bland. But then we'll say, how many of you have ever burned your tongue eating a piece of pizza? Oh, I did. And we'll say, well, when you did that, you burned off a taste bud. And that could have been the taste bud that likes broccoli today. You never know. So we're telling them, you know, that how taste buds change and people like different kinds of food all the time. So try it. You never know. It could be your next favorite food.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think that it's really important to realize that oftentimes it might even be the way the food was prepared.
Oh, it sure. Now, you give the kid a knife and they're cutting it and they're doing it, they're absolutely going to eat it because they're the ones that prepared it. Now they're, you know, have an investment in it and they're curious. What is this food taste like?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I always encourage parents to take your kids shopping and let them pick out a new fruit or vegetable, because if they pick it out or they choose the recipe, they're much more likely to try it and to, you know, experiment with it versus to say, no, I don't want it.
Yes, Jonelle, you're exactly correct. And when students feel they have a choice over something too, that's a benefit to them trying it. When we're in our schools, we have some schools where we prepare the food for their breakfast, lunch, and after-school meals. And before we're trying out new menus, we'll have the kids taste test. Now, we're absolutely going to carry asparagus, for example, but we let the kids choose. Do you guys want it roasted or do you want it steamed? And so we'll let them taste it. We'll let them vote. We have asparagus on the menu, but they feel like they got to choose it, so they're going to eat it now.
That's interesting. And they get to see that there are different ways that you can prepare the same food, and depending on how you prepare it, it tastes totally different.
Mm-hmm. Yep, roasted all the way.
That's the favorite, huh? And I find, too, at home, when I'm talking to parents, often they don't like the food, but they expect their child to eat it. And your children are going to do and watch what you do versus what you say. You can tell them to eat it till you're blue in the face, but if they see you wrinkle up your nose or they don't see you putting it on your plate, they're going to say, why do I have to put it on mine?
Exactly right. And the same thing is in the schools. If you are a teacher with a soda can on your desk all day long, it sends a message to the kids. If you have a water bottle on your desk all day long, it sends a different message.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I'm surprised they even let teachers put soda, you know, and do those things, because I think it's really important. I mean, they need to have choice, but in front of the kids, I think it's really important for them to model those behaviors and those healthy habits that we want the kids to pick up.
Absolutely. I was in a school where the supervisor had the brilliance to eliminate the awful foods out of vending machines,
mm-hmm.
and lemonade sodas out of vending machines in all the schools, but then they let the teacher's lounge have the soda machine. Well, which soda machine do you think was always empty? I mean, the kids knew it. You know,
right.
So they would sneak in after school or whatever and get it. I mean, yeah, we'd have to try harder.
Yeah, kids are really smart. They observe everything that goes on. You know, you think they're not listening. We've got three grandchildren who live close to us, and it's interesting to watch them because you'll say something and they'll totally like ignore you, like they don't hear you. And then when you're whispering and you don't think they can hear you, they heard every single word. They didn't miss a beat. So it's it can be selective sometimes, and they're wonderful, great children. But it's interesting because they don't miss much.
Yeah, you're right.
you know, your business is located in Richmond, Virginia, and you work with students in the Central Virginia area. Do you have plans to bring your message to students in other cities across the country? Or how can people find out about doing more of what you're doing and where they are?
Well, thank you for asking. It took us 4 years to build out this model, but we have proven that our hands-on cooking program works. Right now, we actually travel to schools to get to the kids. So every kid has a cutting board. Every kid has a knife. They might have a peeler that day. We have blenders, ovens. Our chefs haul a lot of equipment,
mm-hmm.
and we haul all the food, too, and for each lesson. So we're trying to figure out the scalable model.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have commercial kitchens, too, and a gentleman came in to give a class on food trucks and building out your food truck. And so when he came in, I was thinking to myself, I wonder if he can build a food cart,
mm-hmm.
like a kitchen cart on wheels, so that every school could have the cart for every teacher to use.
Mm-hmm.
So we already had the curriculum. We just needed, you know, a tool for teachers to use. So we built the kitchen a la carte, which is what we are envisioning that all kids across the country can use.
Oh, that's a really neat idea, kitchen a la carte. I like that idea. Is that something that a school or an after school program could implement or use? One of my sisters is a teacher in California, and she's created a whole running club in an elementary school and teaching kids about health and wellness and healthy snacks. And they've even started growing herbs in old planter boxes. They've been refurbished. I mean, they're doing so many things to get kids aware of how to be healthy and how to really build those healthy habits.
Oh, that is excellent, because any time the kids can do it, they're going to remember it. 54% of our students learn via hands-on, and that's another reason why we built the kitchen a la carte. It's a comprehensive mobile kitchen. It has everything you need. It has hot, cold running water and an induction burner and an oven and all the tools and supplies you need. So your sister could go get some herbs from her garden and use one of our recipes and have the kids create beautiful food. The cart can roll through a classroom door, but the sides of the cart flip up so you can get 12 students and the teacher to stand around it to do the food activity. So any school, after school, or hospital setting that teaches nutrition or that teaches, you know, like you said, math, science, literature, food is history, food is a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
They can use the kitchen a la carte. And it can be purchased with or without our kid-driven curriculum. I'll tell you, we've had some doozies, too. Cauliflower soup was not a winner.
Interesting. Why do you think that was?
Well, we ran that. We were running that in some of our bigger school programs, and we needed a recipe for February. And we're like, because we want to use seasonal vegetables. We're like, mm-hmm. okay, cauliflower. So we said, well, let's make this cauliflower soup, and then we can have a beet puree, and they can draw a little heart in the soup with the beet puree. Colossal failure. They did not like cauliflower soup. But so we're like, okay, cauliflower, cauliflower. So we turned cauliflower into the puree, and then we made it with bechamel sauce and threw it in with the macaroni noodles, and that one was a winner.
I think anything with pasta for kids is a winner. I wonder if it's, you know, it's as you're talking about it, I'm wondering if it's the consistency, you know, because kids are really funny when it comes to texture, and they don't like things that are, at least my kids didn't when they were little. I still have one child who's an adult with kids who still doesn't like certain kinds of jam because he had it and it was runny at one point when he was a child, and so he totally stays away from it.
You never know what is going to...
Yeah, interesting. I love the fact that you're doing seasonal food too, because again, that's another whole... you know, lesson in how things grow, when they grow, where they grow. There's so much that they can learn. Have you ever tried with the kids cauliflower mashed potatoes?
Well, yes, and we just started, you know, the new craze right now is cauliflower rice.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot even tell it's not rice at all. One of our chefs made a stir fry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is it called? That fried rice.
Mm-hmm.
And we ate it. It was delicious. And you cannot even tell it was cauliflower at all.
Wow. That'd be a great way for people to get more vegetables. And we know they need, people definitely need more options for vegetables. We need to take another real quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about what healthy eating looks like and how you get the kids started with this. So this is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Ann Butler of Edible Education. And before the break, we were having a great conversation about the kitchen a la carte idea, and that really sounds amazing. And I think a lot of schools or after-school programs could definitely use that. And I love the fact that you were honest and shared that not all recipes are a hit, but I love the fact that you're experimenting and really introducing new things to the children.
Well, thank you. Like I said, our curriculum really is kid-driven. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing like seeing the excitement of the kids eager to do something. We have a burger called the Half and Half Burger. Well, actually, it was a project we did with the James Beard Foundation last summer. But mm-hmm. it's half mushrooms, half burger. And the kids are like, mushrooms? I'm not eating mushrooms. But when you chop up all the mushrooms, again, they have fun doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You mix it with the burger to make your hamburger patty. You can't even tell. And they're like, wow, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of thing we're trying to do with them as well.
You know, I think it's all about the education. It's all about trying it. And I love the fact that because they're part of it, they're much more willing to try it, to be able to taste it. And oftentimes, those are things that are a real hit. But if you just put it on in front of them and told them what it was, they're going to wrinkle up their nose and they're not even going to taste it.
Oh, yeah. If you give a kid a handful of mushrooms and say, here, eat them, they're good for you, they'll be like,
no way.
You're crazy. But
mm-hmm.
when you get them to make the burger, you've got a convert for life.
Right. And it doesn't, it looks good. I know one of our favorites are black bean burgers. And when we started, you know, I didn't think I was ever going to get my husband to eat one that wasn't a full meat, patty. But we love them, and it's a great, they've got great flavor, and we use a lot of herbs and spices and to really make more flavorful foods, and it makes a big difference in what you're cooking and what you're doing.
And if your child gets to grow the herbs, bonus. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I know. We love that. The grandkids love going out and being able to pick them and come in. And, we love putting them in eggs and doing all those things. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that most kids know what healthy eating looks like, or do you really have to start at the beginning with them?
Again, it'll vary a lot with their income levels and their culture and their age. We can get kids under third grade try anything. They'll absolutely eat anything. You can say it's monkey brains, and they'll be like, "Cool, what's that taste like?" But it's interesting. You start hitting fourth and fifth grade, then they're like, "Well, I don't know." And then middle schoolers, they're more into like the technique of it. So if you always talk to them like they're going to be a chef for somebody, or they're going to prepare the food for somebody else, then probably they'll end up trying the dish at the end of the day. It takes the onus off of, we always tell them, aren't you lucky this isn't eating class, it's cooking class. But then, by the end of the day, they'll try it again because they got to do it. High school, that can be already challenging. But on the flip side of it, when you get to the college kids, they're like, help me, I don't know how to cook anything, and I have no money. So it'll kind of come back around.
Hmm. That's really interesting because you're hitting the different age groups, and they've all got very unique and different challenges when it comes to cooking and eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember, when there's kids are at that fourth and fifth grade level, they're starting to think for themselves. That's the ages where they start to go, I don't really have to do everything you've told me to do in the past,
mm-hmm.
So it's just a natural progression of, a challenge to a parental unit anyway.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So when you're doing this, are these done primarily as a unit in a class, or are they done like during lunchtime or after school?
We have a few different programs. We have what's called the in-school field trip, and so usually a PTA or the principal or somebody with funding or grant funding will say, can you go in and we'll do one first grade class, then another first grade class, and then another one, so we have three chefs going and the kids rotate through three stations
mm-hmm.
where they get to prepare the food. So we have that program, and then we have after school enrichment. And some of those programs, though, are after school. We see the same kids 2-3 years in a row. Yeah, actually, we've had some like 4 years in a row.
Hmm.
And then we have summer programming, and we do a lot with 4-H and Cooperative Extension as well. So
mm-hmm.
it kind of varies. We like to see a student at least 6 weeks. in 6 weeks, we can cover one lesson for breakfast, one lunch, then we have dinner, super snacks, dessert, and then usually some holiday food will fall in that 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's a good overarching view of, hey, you guys can do this, and these are really cool foods.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the fact that you, if you focus on kind of snacks and then desserts, because kids always seem to have a sweet tooth, but I think there's really healthy options so they can eat healthy and enjoy it and still feel like they're not doing without.
Mm-hmm. One of the coolest stories about snacks is I remember we were teaching like a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old, and it was just like a whole wheat quesadilla, but, you know, it's an edible ed take, so you got to put vegetables in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he made it, and he was just so excited. The first thing he said is, now I don't have to wait for my lazy teenage brother to get up and make something for me to eat. That was awesome.
Mm, interesting. So they can eat, they can really can see that they can make healthy snacks, things they like, and have fun doing it. You know,
yeah.
You talk about all these different age groups and the different kinds of programs that you have. What age can kids start chopping and cutting their foods? I mean, are there kids that are have different skill sets that you teach based on what the grade level is?
Yes, and we've been asked to do preschool programs, which we're like, we did some, and 4-year-old is the limit. It's a matter of fine motor skills and the knife. We have these awesome, they're actually kind of a heavy-duty, really heavy-duty lettuce knife,
mm-hmm.
a plastic knife, but they're really good. And so our best student, really, is at 3rd grade, 4th grade,
mm-hmm.
middle school student. But kindergartners, they love it. Parents are so excited. We have a lot of parents say, my kid loves to cook. They watch the Food Network shows. They just, you know, so it's amazing. The kids are getting younger and younger that appreciate appreciate being in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think it's, you know, one of those things, too, where you have that little play kitchen and play grill next to mom and dad. They just want to be like us so much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Are there some common questions that you hear from kids all the time when you're in the classroom?
They always ask us if we're on TV. it was kind of weird the first time we heard that. And other than that, they would rather tell you about their family life than ask questions. But in that regard, we have some very serious kids. We ran a whole week camp last summer of So You Want to Start a Restaurant. And these are like middle schoolers that are very serious already about planning their futures. So they had tons of questions, even on the business side of it. So that was pretty awesome.
How do you balance? Because it sounds like you've got a real, an excellent curriculum and you've got recipes in that. But how do you balance in if the kids want to experiment or try something different or have some ideas to kind of foster that creativity but yet follow the process and make sure that it turns out successfully?
Oh, no, you have to have that. You have to have leeway. And our first lesson is usually, omelets, something with omelets. And so we're just cutting up any vegetables that are available at that time, and then we set them all out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves cutting up the peppers and loves cutting up the tomatoes, but they're not so sure if they want it in the omelet. And so I'll demo one, and they'll say, okay, your turn. You go put on your plate what you want in your omelet. And they're like, really? I mean, for them to have a choice in the matter is like a huge aha moment for them to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, well, I think I'll have some of this and this and that. You know, they're just not given that many choices
mm-hmm.
about food at a young age. So it's that in itself is a gift.
Oh, I like that. It makes me think, one of the things my daughter-in-law does an excellent job with the grandkids, with teaching them and giving them exposure to different foods and flavors, but they have one of the things they do is an omelet bar for dinner one night every so often.
Oh.
And we were over there one night when they were doing this omelet bar. It's kind of similar to what you're talking about. And we had such great conversations at dinner because they were saying, Nana, how come you put that in your omelet? And we talk about what our favorite foods were. So it really had some great conversations and got them to try some different foods because they look up to grandparents and, you know, they think it's fun. So it's like, okay, well, maybe the food's not so bad if that's one of our favorite foods. So it's a great way. They did the same kind of thing with a taco night. And, you know, they can pick and choose what they want, but there's a lot of healthy options. And I love it because it exposes them to so many different neat foods.
Yeah, choice is definitely a benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important. And I love the fact that you're exposing them to those different choices. Do they get then to take a recipe home when they're done? Or what? How do they then share what they're learning with their parents?
A lot of the recipes go home. We used to send them on paper, and then they got too expensive. And then we send them electronically, and now we just post a lot of recipes on our website so everybody can see them.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. We need to take our final break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about how you encourage the parents to get their kids involved and, you know, how you can really turn that into a family activity. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Ann Butler with Edible Education. And before the break, we had a great conversation on kids having choice. And I think that's really important to give them an opportunity to select the foods they're eating and do an experiment with different foods. And I love when you shared that they made the hamburgers with half mushroom and half meat. Because if you told them they were going to eat mushrooms, they'd all probably make a face at you. But mm-hmm. I love the fact that the combination is they see how you can put foods together, and they really do taste good.
Oh, yep. Yep, we had a little over 1,000 kids make those.
Wow, that's amazing. So, you know, it's important to get everyone in the kitchen and to get the family all involved in, I think, preparing foods and knowing what they're eating. So what are some of the ways that you can encourage parents to get their kids more involved and to really make it more family time?
Well, the most important message is just to let your kids help you in the kitchen. Okay, wait, the most important message is get in the kitchen yourself. you don't have to be a trained chef to put a meal on the table. And while you're making something very simple, enlist your child. Like you said, it's time well spent together. And kids love to help, and they love to get involved. And they don't ever think that cooking is a chore. I think somewhere along the line, we've placed cooking with doing the laundry, mopping the floor, drudgery category. We're just mm-hmm. looking for people to get back to basics and enjoy the smell and taste and touch of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Pour yourself a glass of wine and get your kids to stir and cut and wash dishes beside you. It's that time to establish family time and be creative and be together.
No, I so agree with that. I think parents are always, oftentimes I hear that there's no time, we're just too busy, too many things to do. And I think just taking a step back and saying, okay, what can we do together? Because I think there's more opportunities than we realize to spend that time together. And it's great that you sit and read books and play games and do things like that. But I think there are some things that we have to do. But let's teach our children how to do them, and let's do them side by side. It makes it much more fun. And when you get someone helping, it goes so much faster.
It does. I was so privileged. I got to meet Julia Child a long time ago at a food show. And she just always said, just, you know, and always have the kids with you helping. And I'll never forget that. And then they said, I remember she said, you know, prepping every day is difficult. So prep on Sunday afternoons. Dice all your onions on Sunday afternoon. Or, okay, onions, that's a bad example. But cook pasta on Sunday afternoon and then use it a couple different ways throughout the week. Or cut up your carrots and celery during, you know, a particular time, and then you'll have it throughout the week. And then you just won't be going, oh, there's nothing in the fridge, let's just swing by the, you know, pick up. But you've spent just a little bit of time on Sunday prepping for the week, and you've got a lot of things ready to go.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And I think one of the things that we really try to do, and I know we've got our favorite foods, but make sure that we've got some healthy options and keep those in the pantry, in the freezer. And, you know, the other night we wanted something and we, you know, took a can of soup, but then we put some more vegetables in it and added a couple of meatballs. And we had a great, healthy, you know, meal with on a cold night. And it's like, was that or going out and grabbing something? And it's a much better option. And it just tasted so good. It really hit the spot. So it's kind of thinking outside the box a little bit.
Right, Jonelle, and that's what I want to say too, is don't be afraid. Food is just food. It's just ingredients waiting to be mixed up together. A lot of people say, well, I can't cook without a recipe. I'm like, you really can. Just throw it together. You can do it.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And then I encourage people, if you find a recipe you really like, write those recipes down. So when you go to the grocery store, take a couple of them with you and make sure you've got the ingredients in the house. And then when you can't plan, when you haven't planned dinner, have the kids pick one of those cards out because you know they're family favorites. So they're making the choice and it's something you know you've got everything in the house. So it makes it so much easier than, you know, you can make dinner in 20 to 30 minutes versus getting in the car, driving somewhere, picking it up, bringing it home. It's really much faster and it's really fun because it's something that's involving the whole family.
Yes, yes, indeed. I read once where people were not thrilled with 30-minute meals anymore. They wanted like 22-minute meals.
that's our fast-paced world. So what would you recommend to parents who don't have the advantage of their kids attending a cooking class quite yet until it gets out there more? How can parents get their kids to eat healthier at home? Do you have any suggestions for them?
Sure. Again, just get them to work with you in the kitchen. Like you said, take them to the grocery store and have them pick out something. They're going to eat it. Ask them sometime, what is the weirdest food we can find in the produce section? Let's, you know, pick it up and look at it and cook it. And it could be a hit or a miss, but it'll definitely be a talking point. But then just keep it simple. You can have five ingredient one dish meals, or you can, you know, like you said, have soup, and that will last and that will freeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think the key is, from what you're saying and from everything else, is to just really get started, you know, do something. I can't wait to introduce my sister to you and see how maybe they can, you know, do some of the things that you're doing in her school, because she works with children that don't get a lot of exposure to fresh, healthy food. And I think the more kids that we can touch, it will really change a lot of lives, and it'll help our future generation as the kids get older, as they, you know, go to high school, as they go to college, as they start having children. We've just got to break that cycle and just really re-educate and help train our kids. You've shared so much with us. So how can people learn more, about what you're doing, about edible education, and about eating healthier?
Well, I would encourage everybody to go to our website. It's www.edibleedu.com. And we do have recipes there, so if you're in the grocery store and you don't know what to cook, just check on our website. You can look at a recipe. We have them done by the month. And we have a fun Facebook page with cool stuff. You have videos on the Facebook page. They're like 45 seconds long of how to make a recipe. And on our website, we have videos, too, of kids making the food, so you can see. And that will be fun. If the kids watch our kids how to make the food, then they can go, oh, this is so easy and fun, yay. And then I just want to say one more thing, too, about sometimes people are afraid because they say, eating healthier is more expensive, but it really, really isn't. I mean, if you buy a bag of carrots and have the kids peel them, it was way cheaper than buying the little baby carrots, all right? Mm-hmm. And way, way cheaper than buying a prefab pack of steamable carrots, microwave in the bag, something like that. Just think of lowest common denominator foods. What's the easiest ingredient that we can work with? I promise it really will be a more inexpensive pound per pound than packaged foods.
That's a great reminder. And I'd love to ask all of our guests to share one action item that they can implement in the next week so that our listeners can start creating a healthy future for themselves and their family. So what action item would you give them?
Oh, just add to keep things simple. Like if you're going to prepare a turkey sandwich or they're preparing turkey sandwich for their lunch, make it be turkey and lettuce and spinach or tomatoes. Just add something in there. Avocado is awesome. Maybe veggie chips instead of regular chips.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, please make real mashed potatoes instead of box mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you it's cheaper. It's so much better for you. And you know what? If you're lazy like I am, just keep the skins on. Everybody still loves them that way.
Right, or they can try cauliflower mashed potatoes.
Yes, they could. That would be excellent. And then instead of maybe making a chocolate cake, right now it's, apple time. Making an apple crisp is so easy. And if you want to make a really super easy one, just slice an apple in half, put a little bit of brown sugar and oatmeal on top, put that apple in the oven, 350 degrees, for like 20 minutes, done. You got instant apple crisp.
That's interesting. That sounds like a great after-school snack.
There you go. They could do the whole thing.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for sharing all that you did. And we will absolutely put a link to edibleedu.com on our Eat Great Live Well radio, on our Eat Great livewellradio.com page so that they can get to you and learn more about what you're doing and see how they might be able to bring this to their school and help get their kids more exposure. So thank you, Anne, for everything that you shared. It's been a wonderful conversation.
Thank you so much, Jonelle.
So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of the conversation. Click on our Facebook link and share your thoughts. Share what you're trying. Share what you've cooked with your kids in the last week. And let's continue the conversation. Take care and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.